Listening in on the conversation with me this morning is Terry Teege. He's the tribal chief of the Karyosekini, and he's also a relative of one of the women murdered along the Highway of Tears. Terry Teege, thank you for joining me as well.
Good morning.
So what do you make of these revelations? I mean, does it seem surprising? Does it seem shocking?
Well, both surprising that, you know, this government that needs to be accountable and transparent aren't doing that. I'd just like to thank Tim Duncan for coming forward with this information. And, you know, first of all, it's the subject matter, the Highway of Tears, you know, which is close to and near and dear to my heart. You know, they're very cavalier in their actions in terms of, you know, just deleting emails that are possibly important. Maybe they're innocuous to the whole situation. But the second part to this issue is that it seems like there's a culture of deleting the emails and not being transparent in not only in the Ministry of Transportation, but other ministries. So really, you know, there's a couple of things here that should be of concern to not only First Nations up here that are dealing with the Highway of Tears, but just in general with the public.
So this is tense already. I mean, this whole portfolio, this whole investigation into the Highway of Tears is tense already. And now along comes this sort of revelation. How much more damage does it do?
Well, there's several things that happened over the last year. We did have conversations with the Ministry of Transportation last year. And in those conversations, what really concerned myself and the Karyosekini Family Services was that the MOT said that safe transportation and a shuttle system wasn't a, I guess you could say, wasn't an issue up here. It wasn't, you know, a lot of people didn't think it was a priority. Yeah. So last year in 2014, and it's on record, we did meet with them. And what we asked from them was, who said this? Do you have a consultation report on who you met along the highway? And because this is new to us, because we were following the recommendations from the Highway of Tears report, 33 recommendations. We were also following through with the recommendations from the OPAL report. So, you know, we're following reports that they endorse themselves. So, you know, that's what we needed to find out. The NDP got word of it, and that's who filed the FOI, and mm-hmm. then followed through with revelations from Tim Duncan. So I think, you know, there's also the issue, too, that the Highway of Tears Initiative is no longer funded, and they were tasked with implementing those 33 recommendations from the Highway of Tears report. The funding ran out at the end of September last month. And, you know, really to us, it's, you know, another, you know, just it's just damning. You know, does anybody even care? You know, with what Tim Duncan was saying, they're very cavalier, and is this a real priority? So one thinks here on the First Nations side and with First Nations women, do they even matter? You know, it's another, you know, it's quite sad to see, and really, you know, it's you know, breaking up our relationship with our government. And
I don't know what the adjective is here. When I hear people talk about the costs of this, for example, there's a cost to running the shuttle bus service to make sure that people have some sort of transportation and that they're not out there hitchhiking by themselves. But at the same time, you know, you think about the costs of the different investigations that have gone on, the costs of commissions that have been held. But then there's the cost of those hundreds of murdered and missing women who aren't part of the economy, who aren't part of our society. There's so much cost that goes on as it relates to this. How do you make the argument that $1 million for a bus service is a pittance compared to what's being lost in the economy otherwise?
Well, you know, if it was another segment of society where, you know, a lot of, let's say, white women went missing in the British properties or from College Heights, if you will, there everybody would be up in arms. There would be rewards given out there. There would be, you know, a societal shift on, you know, who's doing this. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, the costs, you know, it comes back to, I guess, our own, ourselves as a society. Are we just going to sit back and let this happen? You know, that would be even worse than any costs of monetary value. Because quite far too often, you know, sitting back and just watching this is much worse than any cost that is out there for in regards to funding and whatnot.
I just want to wrap up by asking you a question I asked earlier this morning. I was talking with the president of the Native Women's Association, mm-hmm. and what can be done about repairing the relationship between RCMP and Native women.
Yes.
The question I asked her was, who could or who should make that first move to repair now the relationships between this provincial government and First Nations in our province?
Well, I think it has to come from the top, from Christy Clark. She is the leader. But and overall with the RCMP, you know, it's a systemic problem, you know. We've seen it in Val d'Or with Alyssa George. And also, you know, in a roundabout way, C.J. Fowler, you know, because our women, First Nations women, are always put in the situation of being a victim. And why is that? You know, we have to get to the bottom of this in terms of society's, I guess, view of Aboriginal women. And I think, you know, it does take a revolution of our minds and our thoughts to really value our women. And because ultimately, you know, with the RCMP or the provincial government, we could give as many people cultural training and whatnot to address these issues with our women. But it comes down to their personal choice, you know, to that individual, that police officer, whether he's going to abuse our women or is going to check the women in the jail, or if that person in the court system or in the government is going to delete all those emails. It comes down to their personal choice. So really, you know, it's upon everybody. It's not just these organizations, the RCMP and the government, but our societal view of our Aboriginal women has to change, that they do matter and they are valued.
Terry Teagee, Tribal Chief of the Carrier Sekani Tribal Council, thank you so much for your thoughts on this morning. I appreciate you coming in.
You're welcome.